This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 636 in the series. This session of the radio show shares the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, October 12th. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. School Committee members were in the municipal building along with some of the public. Other members of the public joined via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The recording runs about 2 hours and 20 minutes. So I split the meeting into two segments. The first covers the opening, the citizens' comment, FAHS student update, superintendent's report, and the safety presentation, which runs about 1 hour and 4 minutes. The second covers the discussion action items, discussion-only items, the consent agenda, through to the entry to the executive session, from which they did not return to open meeting, approximately 48 minutes. Links to the meeting agenda and associated documents released for this meeting are included in the show notes. The link to my notes taken during the meeting is also provided. So let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting of October 12, 2021.
We'll give Dr. Hearn a chance to get back. Do I have it right now? Superintendent's goals, right? That's going to be next. Okay, good.
Okay, so in your packet is a presentation, which is kind of framing the goals that I'm proposing for the 21-22 school year. I had an opportunity to meet with the members of the ad hoc superintendent's evaluation subcommittee and have a discussion last week about these goals. Just as a framing component, these two goals tonight, the professional practice and student learning goal, are just one part of the superintendent's evaluation. The evaluation also includes the district improvement goals, of which there are four that you approved in September, as well as evidence of performance towards indicators in the performance rubric. And DESE suggests 6 to 8 focus indicators to be selected. That has been a practice that we've had in place for as long as I've been superintendent. And so there are some focus indicators continuing to be proposed. So I'm continuing to propose the same focus indicators because I think these are the ones, if you're in the curriculum world, you might call them power standards or power indicators. I think that for the superintendent, these are areas that are paramount. The first is in terms of instructional leadership, the curriculum and instruction indicators. In terms of management and organization, in standard 2 would frame the propose to frame the evaluation around laws, ethics and policies and fiscal systems. Standard 3 is related to family engagement, and I think communication still continues to be the most important standard there. And then standard 4, shared vision around the professional culture. So the goals were presented last December with a suggestion that they be 2-year goals. I think I tend to put a lot in these goals, perhaps too much, and knew that they would take a couple of years to tackle. And so these goals, both the professional practice and student learning goal, are tweaked from last year based on input from the committee, input from faculty, staff, and administrators, as well as input from families and data that we have available to us. So I propose in the professional practice area to continue around collaboration and communication skills. That was part of a common goal across the district last year, and I chose to focus on that. I think that there are still some unique communication needs coming back from the pandemic. A lot of communication shifted to be district-centered. A lot of communication is shifting back to our school buildings and for our principals and PCCs to communicate. But I do sense a continued interest and demand for district-based information. We also are, I shouldn't say demand, but expectation for district information. And I think that's a great thing. I think that's, we're at a really important point as a district. And part of that includes looking forward and looking ahead at the next 3 to 5 years for a strategy for improvement, as well as some long-term goals related to facilities, finances, and enrollment. And so the action steps are very similar to ones that had been in place. Continuing to leverage the use of district platforms to educate the committee and community about the specificity of the various roles in our public schools today. And I've listed several there, including digital learning integrationists, our interventionists, counselors, ESPs, curriculum specialists, and the proposed director of SEL and equity. The historic, current, and future status of school finance, enrollment, and facilities use, and our efforts to affirm diversity, promote equity, and foster inclusion. I had last year started some virtual coffees with families and proposed to continue monthly engagement opportunities to interact with me on a regular basis, as well as guests who may join from central office. The first one is actually coming up in this month, the 19th. Continue to utilize joint PCC meetings to promote equity of enrichment across schools, especially at the elementary and middle. That is something that is direct feedback from the school committee in my evaluation. Actually, there are other pieces here too that are as well. We want to continue to implement parent and family education forums on relevant, timely topics, such as well-being, mental health and anxiety, social media, and substance abuse prevention. And seek feedback from community members on what has been our current strategy for improvement, and enlist the admin team and school committee in planning for 22 to 25. The proposed student learning goal is tweaked from last December. Continue to support the students' development of SEL skills, as well as attending to the SEL well-being of students indirectly by attending to the professional well-being of faculty and staff. This first part is related to the students' well-being. We're continuing to analyze data from our SEL assessments. We are still rolling out DESA in particular across all elementary schools, so that is a measure of attention to be had. We are still formalizing, as part of our district improvement plan, tiered supports. I think we've made some good headway there, but would like to formalize that in a longer term vision for 3 to 5 years, and make sure that we're applying resources through the budget to support the MTSS vision over the next few years. So this is purposefully tied to the district, to the professional practice goal around the strategy and the district improvement plan. The second part of the student learning goal has action steps as it relates to staff well-being, and there's a bunch here. I'm not going to read them all to you, but the these action steps here are definitely tied and prioritized based on the panorama survey that we issued last spring. So we I propose to apply data from that survey to improve professional well-being of faculty and staff. First and foremost, plan to use the survey to measure progress, and would set a goal of increasing participation rate from about 50% to 70%. We plan to resurvey in January and then again at the end of the year with the same survey. That's what Panorama is advising us, is to not change the survey, but to keep the survey the same at this time and resurvey. Mm-hmm. Professional development stood out as an area of greatest need. I also think it's one of the higher leverage areas, given the other areas of the survey that were included. And so would seek to increase favorability on professional development by 10%. The long-term goal would be to above the 50th percentile or higher in that category. Other action steps, like I said, professional development would be kind of the biggest area of focus, would be to respond to our educators' feedback from the professional development committee, building more choice and voice into PD offerings, and provide opportunities for educators to provide PD to each other. That is something that has come up from our faculty and staff. A lot of what happens for our faculty and staff is in buildings. So supporting our building administrators in their focus on professional well-being. Convene, in addition to PD, communication has come up, and this is an area tied to the professional practice goal of providing more opportunities for faculty and staff to engage with us in central office. So the first is a casual opportunity through coffees to drop in and meet with the team to provide an informal avenue for dialogue. And in response to a request, reconvene the superintendent's roundtable, which is a monthly meeting, so it'd be fixed representative group of educators from around the district to dialogue about district-wide matters. We've initiated a quarterly faculty and staff newsletter. We are monitoring the open rate and the click rate, and we'll seek feedback after the second edition and make adjustments. The next edition goes out in December. That does not supplant any regular communications that may go out in the interim. I'm resuming monthly school visits and walkthroughs with building principals. Some feedback was around being a presence and kind of understanding and knowing what's going on for people in their day-to-day lives, and provide follow-up notes to faculty after debriefing those visits with the principals, and provide support in the form of professional development, guidelines for curriculum and instruction, building awareness of holidays and national months of recognition, and how to approach these with students to faculty and staff on affirming diversity, promoting equity, and fostering inclusion. So those are the goals. I have included as additional information for the committee some of the highlights from the faculty and staff survey, including the strands of the survey, the favorability of those certain strands, and some of those highlights, including areas of celebration and areas of opportunity. This isn't a presentation about the survey results. It's more about the goals. Happy to answer questions or to walk through those if you wish, but I did include them more as backup for your information. They were shared, that information was shared with faculty and staff on the first day of school. So they knew that the survey results were being attended to, and with the intent of being acted upon.
Just before entertaining a motion, I just know any questions or comments or follow-up for Dr. Hearn on the goals portion of? Go ahead, Elise.
Can you remind us, is the district strategy of improvement process primarily an internal process in the district, or is that like gathering stakeholder input?
It's a process of gathering stakeholder input, but the process as coached by the new superintendent induction program did not involve a consultant coming in. It was something more that the superintendent and central office team led with the school committee, with stakeholders, and with stakeholders like families and community members, as well as faculty and staff, but it did not involve kind of an outside group coming in and running through a consultant process.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Any other questions, comments, follow-up? Okay. And in this instance, the chair would be recommending, usually the superintendent does because it's her goals, the chair would recommend approval of the superintendent's goals. I would entertain a motion to recommend approval of the superintendent's goals for 2021-22 as detailed. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Go ahead, Judy.
I have a couple of questions. As I've said in the past, we're a lame duck school committee. We have 19 days left and then we're gone. All of us may not be gone, but some of us will be gone. It doesn't quite seem fair to me that we're voting on goals for you when we're not going to be here. It's going to be the new school committee, my opinion, should be voting on these goals, because they're the ones that are going to have to live with those goals for the next 2 years. I think this should be put off until the second meeting in November and let the new school committee vote on this, not us.
So I guess I'll just say the following. I do understand where you're coming from and respect that. I think the timing of the educator evaluation cycle is a bit tricky with the November elections. Our educators typically do goals in October, and it sort of falls in line from the district improvement plan and school improvement plans being approved in the August-September timeframe. If it's not done now, there is a little bit of a transition period. The first meeting in November is the reorganization meeting, so it does continue to extend it. The later it goes, the more time in the school year has gone by, and that becomes difficult for me in terms of accomplishing the goals by the end of the year. These goals would not be two-year goals, so the intention for these goals is that they would conclude at the end of the school year, and then a new set of two-year goals would get established.
And then the new committee would form an ad hoc superintendent evaluation. So at no time, once a new committee comes on board, can things not be modified, changed, whatever. There'll be a new ad hoc superintendent evaluation committee. So that does not mean, it just gives Sarah a chance to be working on these goals. And this is where they stand now. It does not mean in any way, shape, or form, if the new committee wants to come in and have a discussion relative to through the ad hoc superintendent evaluation committee, to ask for different feedback, to look for different focus. That's something that, again, this is kind of the way that it's always been, based on the timing of getting these done, so you can start working on them and not wait to acclimate a new committee, which can take a long time. So.
And I think if I can jump in, I think that's a really important point. I don't want to set myself up for a situation where a new committee isn't on board with these goals and is going to be evaluating me at the end. But there is also a delay if these goals don't get approved until November or December, 6 months of the school year, 6 months of the fiscal year has gone by. We're starting to get into the budget season. So it allows me to continue forward, and then I would welcome feedback from the next superintendent evaluation committee in terms of any tweaks that may get made.
And that will start right away, the new committee with the ad hoc evaluation committee. Yeah.
Can I ask?
Oh, go ahead, Jen. Sure.
Just a quick question. So this is a one-year goal. Last year you had two-year goals?
So last year it was intended to be a two-year goal to span 20 to 22.
So this is your new set of goals.
So this is a revised. So that was in 2020. It was set up as a two-year goal, but this is like the midway point of the goal to tweak it based on information.
Okay.
The biggest tweak is probably in the area of the professional well-being, because of the survey data giving some really specific areas to focus on.
Okay, so the overall premise of the goals has stayed the same. You're just mm-hmm. tweaking it. So you've been collecting evidence and kind of working towards these goals for the last year.
Yes.
Okay. And yes. I think just the other point, to Judy's point, because I do think that that's, something we have to consider. I know the first year I was on the ad hoc committee, and we had to postpone. So we didn't follow the same timeline. So I think an option to push off if we needed to. So some variables to consider, that it is the second year of similar goals that mm-hmm. we're just revising, and that there is an option to delay that evaluation process, which we did do in the first year because we struggled to kind of get organized and do the same things that we're talking about here. So, yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, follow up? Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to recommend approval of the superintendent's goals for 2021, 2022 as detailed. Roll call. Jen?
No.
Tim?
Yes.
Judy?
No.
MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yes.
And Ann? Yes. Carries. Okay.
All right.
Now we go to MASC resolutions.
So at the last meeting, we went Denise walked us through the resolutions, and you elected her as your delegate to the MASC meeting in early November. The MASC resolutions, there are 9 of them, and we'll take them one by one for your vote. She will represent you at the conference in November, pending her re-election. So resolution 1, I recommend adoption of MASC resolution 1, dedicated funding for school-based clinics and services.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Let me just go through, Jen, let me go through this way and then we'll go in order just so I make sure. Any discussion on this particular motion?
Nope.
Tim?
No questions.
Okay, Judy?
This is on this question and all 9 questions. If I understand this correctly, the Mass Association of Superintendents voted on this at one of your meetings to go Mass Association of School Committees to adopt this. So these 9 resolutions are going before every school committee in the state for adoption?
Yes, so this comes from the Massachusetts Association of School Committee Board of Directors. It didn't come from the Superintendents Association.
Okay.
Came from the Board of Directors, or other school committees can propose them, and the Board of Directors, there's a resolutions committee that puts this together. I would say many school committees go through this process in advance of the MASC conference, where the committees vote, their delegates take that vote and perspective to a meeting of the delegates. Not all school committees go through it, but many do.
Yeah.
Okay. And after it goes to that meeting, what happens to these? Do they go to the representatives and senators in Washington? What happens to them?
So typically there's an advocacy process where the resolutions get sent for perhaps legislation or relief from legislation in order to enact some change. I know Denise has been part of the process through the chair. Would it be appropriate for a committee member to chime in?
Do you want to say? I've been at when they do these, most often that sometimes it's the last one that I was at and represented the committee there. And at the MASC, at the convention, people will get up to argue and speak about these particular resolutions. And some of them are for recommending to go to the legislature, because what we vote on tonight does not directly impact whatever we decide. If we think we're in favor of MASC pushing this forward to adopt it later on, maybe through state law, maybe to take something away from state law, maybe to budget something. These, because we're voting on them tonight, does not mean we're adopting them for Franklin Public Schools. All we're doing is saying the Franklin School Committee wants you to consider you're supporting this for possible legislation, and that's how it's conducted at the MASC convention.
Okay, I've read this about 4 times, maybe 5 times. It just seems to me a pie in the eye report. Every single one of these just about is requesting more money. More money. The first one, dedicated funding. You want it to be paid for proposals for physical, social, and emotional wellness, to set up the environment and the money to pay for all this. This homework one, I don't have any problem with that. The IDEA full funding, they pay it now at 17%. This requested to go to 40%, which is an increase of 23% money. Recess. I fully think that every elementary kid should have recess, 20 minutes. This says that 20 minutes can't be added on to the school day, nor can it be taken away from any instructional time allotted in the school day.
So, Judy, what we're going to do now is we're going to look at each one. If you want to comment on each one as
it
comes along, okay? And you have every right to do that and to give your opinion and to share it.
Okay.
So let's do the first one. We have, do we have a motion and a second? Yeah. So on this particular one, dedicated funding for school-based clinics and services, is there any discussion about this? Anyone? And I'd like to get, just for purposes of saying, from the school people who have to live with these things, is your perspective on whether or not, for example, school-based clinics and services. I know for me, and I mentioned this at the last meeting, just me personally, my own opinion, it's something we've advocated for a long time, we meaning the people, you know, that I worked with, is if we can bring the services to where the kids are, because so many people don't have transportation or access to services where all the kids are, if we could do those wraparound services right in school. So it would be something that I would not want to have to, you know, the individual schools pay for, but if that's something, I think it's such an incredible, when we look at the emotional health of our kids and the desperate need for services, that this would be something I would advocate. I don't know if anyone else wants to speak to it, this particular one, before we vote on it. Go ahead, Elise.
A question. So it talks about dedicated funding, but it doesn't say where that funding's coming
right.
from. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have more information? No. Okay. It'd be great to have funding.
Yeah, and they're not going to, they can't advocate for individual school committees to do this, you know, and
right.
again, it could become an unfunded mandate, and it's certainly, you know, that's not what we would want.
Right.
But just is the concept. I don't know if Dr. Hearn, your thoughts on it, or Lucas, or...
So I guess put a different way, my perspective is that there are a lot of health-based services increasingly coming into the school setting, and so without funding, it feels like a potential unfunded mandate coming forward as we have more and more health services kind of centered around schools. We've said for a long time we're happy to support students in this way, provides them access to their education, I think with the pandemic, there's just clearly more and more that's been happening.
So sufficient services, would you say, is what you're saying now, or would you, or do you think that this is something that I just want to make sure I have that clear, that right now we feel we have adequate health services in coming in for our schools?
It's sponsored by Framingham.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Why don't you read the final, the whereas, what they're looking at. I know you did it last time.
But therefore. Let's see. I'm just trying to skim it over.
If that funding was coming from health insurance companies or something,
yeah.
I think that's an important piece there as well.
Yeah, we can't absorb it, right? Maybe how it's framed, so, but,
really,
and without knowing that, I think, yeah, okay.
And that can be brought up at the convention.
Yeah, and you did bring that
by our representative.
Just say, listen, we can't afford,
we don't need another one.
Right, I mean, it's a wonder, maybe the concept is wonderful, but the idea is if this is going to be an unfunded mandate that schools are going to have to, with everything else, I think that's a good, that. Does that make sense, Denise, too? Okay.
Chair.
Oh, Jen, go ahead. Sorry, Jen.
Can I just make a suggestion?
Yeah.
So is there a chance that we can postpone this vote to the next one so that people can have some time to read it over and look at it and do some research on any questions that they have before we sit here and kind of sit in a think tank?
Well,
I think we still have
time.
But I think we still have some time. You know what I mean?
Because what's your feeling on that, Denise?
No, that's fine.
Does that sound okay, Sarah, to you?
It's fine by me.
Okay. If we wanted to go in more depth, I know we did go over them last time, but you're right, there's some things relative to really looking, especially around funding is crucial. And how, when we're asking Denise to be charged with this, to make sure we're giving her the right wording and that we've looked at it, and that would seem to make sense, Jen, to me. I don't know if the rest of people feel that way about just waiting till next time.
Yeah.
Everybody's on.
Sure.
Tim, are you okay with that? Okay, he's there.
And just through the chair.
Oh, yeah,
so I just want to remind people that this wasn't something that last November, I also was your designee at the MASC. So
that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
yes,
November,
that's
so.
Right.
And we had, I think there were 10 last year that we reviewed. So
yeah, thank you. Yeah. And it is very much when people get up to argue there, they do actually do. They really push about funding and make sure
it's an all day.
Don't burden local school committees with that. Yeah. So let's do that then. All right. So we did have a motion and a second. So I'm going to amend the motion to say that the chair recommends postponing the adoption of the MASC resolution, since I think I already did do a motion and a second, which would have to for this dedicated funding for school-based clinics and services. So we would entertain a motion to postpone till next time and just do a quick roll call. Jen?
Yes.
Tim? Judy?
Yes.
Okay, Tim, thanks. MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yeah.
And Ian, yeah, so that's good. We'll do that. All right.
Excuse me. Don't you want a motion to postpone the rest of the resolutions as well?
Well, I only recommended one adoption. I didn't recommend any of the other adoptions yet. I only recommended that first one. So that's the one I'm rescinding, amending.
But the other ones are on an agenda. Don't you want to remove them from tonight's agenda and move them to the next meeting?
We can do that as well. I would entertain a motion to remove the rest of the resolutions 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 from tonight's agenda and move it to our next meeting, and entertain a motion to do that.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Okay. Any further question, discussion, roll call vote to do that? Jen?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yes.
Ian? Okay. Good. Policy, first reading.
So the first policy you have is professional staff hiring. And this policy was revised to come to the school committee for first reading at the meeting last week, October 6th, I think. There are a few minor changes so that it has the same tone as the policy manual, but the substantive change is the third bullet, which adds detail around expectations of a representative screening committee for professional staff positions. This paragraph can be found in the MASC model policy. So I recommend that I recommend moving policy GCF, professional staff hiring, to a second reading as discussed.
Okay. Is there a motion to move policy GCF, professional staff hiring, to a second reading as discussed?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, the vote will come on the roll call, on the vote of the motion and roll call. Jen?
Yes.
Tim? Tim? Okay, we'll come back to Tim. Judy?
Yes.
MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yeah.
Ann and Tim?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, that's all right, Tim. Okay. Carrie's policy elimination.
So this next action item is to eliminate policy GCD, professional staff vacations and holidays. This is not a policy found in the MASC online model policy manual. The policy subcommittee recommends eliminating this, as staff vacations and holidays are items that would be found in collective bargaining agreements or contracts, and they felt that this was not needed. So I recommend elimination of policy GCD, professional staff vacations and holidays, as discussed.
Is there a motion to eliminate policy GCD, professional staff vacations and holidays, as discussed?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion, questions, comments? Okay, seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. Roll call vote. All those in favor. Jen?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yes.
And yes. Okay. Carries. Discussion only items. Dr. Hearn, back to school status update.
So in your status update this week, I just have some metrics and numbers for the school committee as we keep track of them on a weekly basis. I did not include any narrative. As noted in previous meetings, many of the other items are starting to come up and get folded into our routine business. So the health metrics as of October 8th are listed there, regarding the daily cases and percent positivity, as well as the county's transmission risk. I did graph the data since July, so you can see, and we'll continue to add to those graphs over time so we can monitor the trends rather than having one big table. We continue to inch up in terms of vaccination rates among children ages 12 to 19, with 81% having one dose and 73 and 74% fully vaccinated. We do not anticipate being at the 80% vaccination rate by Friday, October 15th. We are still collecting information. Friday, October 15th is the earliest possible date to apply to the department for lifting the mask mandate at a specific school. Since our last meeting, they extended the mask mandate until at least November 1st. At this point, I don't have any additional information about that. But again, we do continue to track our data, and we talked about it at the policy subcommittee meeting last week. The total cases are listed for you, as are the in-person cases. Since our last meeting, we've had kind of a rise in in-person cases. The Horace Mann Middle School in particular was an area that we had quite a few in-person cases, and we made the decision to go virtual for their back to school night because of what we were seeing. So we are tracking that, and we are also keeping track of the number of students and staff in quarantine. Want to give a shout out to Paula Morano for all of her coordination as usual, and be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, let me just go through committee. Jen, anything?
I do. So quick question on the vaccination rates. Do we have numbers? I know I'm looking at your numbers and it doesn't look like they're more age range versus school range.
So for the high school, we're about 75%.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that includes staff and students?
That includes staff and students.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're still collecting some information.
Okay. I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Tim, any questions, comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Hey, Judy?
No, thank you.
Okay. MJ?
No, I do not.
Denise?
I'm all set.
Elise?
My question was just about the ESSER III funding. So at our last meeting, I think the grant was due in a couple days. So I know it's only been less than 2 weeks, so there might be no update. But if there is, I'd love to hear it.
So I guess the only update that I can share, and Miriam can chime in, is that we completed the application and submitted it to the department. I don't know if we've heard anything back.
I have not at this point.
Okay. I anticipate that it will be okay. All of the things that we had put in there were approved, per the grant. Mm-hmm. So anticipate hearing something though.
Great. So for there were two items, the getting the Bright program up and running at the high school and the director of SEL and the social worker. So for any of those grant related changes, you need to wait for approval, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no updates on those?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
All set, Elise? Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Thank you. All right, now we go to information matters. Budget, we have not met, but the new committee will be able to be part of setting new budget goals with Dr. Hearn. So that will be the challenge for the new committee coming on board. And I do know at our workshop that we had earlier in the summer that one of the things we had talked about to improve communication among town council, FinCom, and school committee was to hold more joint subcommittee meetings, which apparently from what Miriam said, that was something that used to be done maybe quarterly with the different chairs of the committees rotating chairmanship because they're all autonomous boards, so that to take turns chairing it. So that was something that I thought was really a good recommendation that came from our budget workshop. So that's that for that. Community relations, MASC.
Nothing to report.
Except what about the whole wonderful Harvest Festival?
Oh my God, that was this past week.
Oh, please, Denise.
When was it?
Saturday.
This past Saturday?
Was it?
2 weeks. A week
oh
and a half.
Oh my gosh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, we had a table at the Harvest Festival. It was very well attended. Met a lot of parents and kids, handed out a lot of our budget flyers and our road home flyers. I don't want to toot our own horn, but I think we had one of the better booths at the fair. So thank you everyone for coming.
That was, just to give you credit, at least in terms of putting together, just making it really attractive and encouraging people to come and making sure they got the information. But one thing just I wanted to comment, and you, I know you picked up on it as well, is just how polite the kids were, taking their turns and always saying thank you. And it was just such a pleasure, you know, to have so many kids in line waiting, but be so polite and say thank you. And it was just reflection on the community, I thought, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, policy, MJ.
Well, we will be meeting again on Thursday, October 21st from 6 until 7:30. And for people who are going to be running over to the Senior Center after our meeting, Steve Sherlock said that he was going to try to make it so that we won't go until later on. So we will allow for travel time. It's an election event.
Are you all set?
Just to add that.
Yep, sorry.
On the 21st, once again, we will have mask policy on the agenda. It is on every agenda. With the hopes that Desi is going to, you know, come up with something that will be, that they will have worked on with, you know, Board of Health, mm-hmm. or Department of Public Health, some metrics for kids being able to get rid of their masks. Because it's clear from our students, they're ready for them to go as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As is everyone else.
Yep. All set?
I'm all set.
Ad hoc subcommittee, we did meet on the superintendent evaluation, and once goals have been approved, so that committee can, because it's ad hoc, can be dissolved, and then the new one will form with the new committee and go from there. Joint PCCs, Judy was...
Not until the end of the month.
Got it, thank you. And then Substance Abuse Task Force met this morning, and we met over at the Safe Coalition office, and it was quite an incredibly powerful meeting. School people, community representatives, fire, the Safe Coalition, of course, Jen Knight and Jim Derrick. And the most important objective now under Lucas's leadership is really focusing on the emotional health of our young people. And obviously one symptom of the pain that our young people are suffering, which isn't anything new, it's just been made much worse by COVID, the whole situation, is increasing use of substances of all kinds to sort of numb the pain of dealing with everything life's throwing at them. And I'm going to ask Lucas, will you talk about the community forum that you've been planning and that how powerful that's going to be? Will you talk about that?
Sure. First? Just as a teaser, we're planning a community forum with panelists representative of folks from all different stages of substance use, whether they're a medical professional, someone who is in long-term recovery. We have our police force, our folks that work specifically in the drug division. We're assembling a group of people from Franklin to host a panel discussion. We have students who joined us at SAFE too. We have three excellent students who are committed to this work. They're also part of the SAD group at Franklin High and Mrs. Morano. The date of that will be November 17th. We're going to confirm. We went back and forth on dates. So
the Tuesday,
But we are planning to host that event, and we will also live stream it for folks who can't attend in person, so that we have that. But we're excited to work towards that goal and get more information out to the community, and just try to get a really representative group so that people feel represented and hear different perspectives.
I do think, Lucas, I just wanted to add, I mean, some of the information was so eye-opening at that meeting this morning. And one of them was something that the effect of the potency of the marijuana that's out there now and how sick kids are getting. And getting that information out, that's just one piece of what this community forum is going to be focusing on. And helping people, parents, to understand just that, especially the connection between emotional well-being and substance use. But some of the stuff that was coming out from that meeting that's going to be at this forum. And the other thing that was eye-opening to me is the whole idea of that because kids were home for so long, that in addition to sort of academic delays that might be surfacing. This all, they were talking about like social immaturity, and that these kids have lost so much of that, and that's another part that we kind of have to build up. So, and the other thing that surfaced from this meeting, and I'll be quiet after that, was just that this again is a community issue. So I'm hoping, Lucas, as we go, and I'll help in any way I can, is inviting all our town leaders to be part of this forum, our faith-based community to be part of this forum, to be as many people, because this is epidemic. I mean, it's not just Franklin, epidemic, and what these kids are suffering through, and the needs and the demands around emotional health and substance use. And we keep losing. We just lost another one of our young parents maybe 3 weeks or so ago, one of my former students, just another one, and we're losing them. So anyway, so that's, it's going to be powerful, and we'll get as much information out as possible about it. So it's really important. So there you go. How about school wellness advisory?
School wellness. We went in person last week, which was great. The first time in about a year and a half. We met with our new school wellness coach, and we completed the WellSat, which is a school wellness assessment tool that we went through and rated how our current policy aligns with best practices. And we'll meet again on November 9th to discuss the assessment results and plan next steps towards a more comprehensive policy.
Thank you. Okay, that's it on information matters. New business, Dr. Hearn.
At the next meeting, there may be policy from the policy subcommittee. You can expect the enrollment report, the October 1st enrollment report. We will revisit the MASC resolutions, and we have a presentation being planned by Tina Rogers and Linda Ashley to look at student assessment, including MCAS.
Excellent. Good. Consent agenda. I think we have to do approval of minutes separately. Judy, were you here at the last meeting? To
I was me.
Yeah,
I was.
You were. Okay,
that was virtual. Yes, yeah, she was virtual.
Okay, thank you. I was thinking about when the wedding was, and that wasn't the last time. So everybody was here, so we don't have to do
it
this.
It wasn't
one.
My wedding.
Not yours.
That was no case.
Thank you. So we can do the whole thing, Dr.
Okay. I recommend approval of the minutes from the September 28th, 2021 school committee meeting as detailed. I recommend acceptance of the following athletic department gifts totaling $6,669.82 as follows. $328.12 to from All American Publishing for supplemental supplies. $441.70 from All American Publishing for supplemental supplies. And $5,900 from MIAA Inc. for supplemental supplies.
Is there a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion, comments, questions?
Yeah, question.
Go ahead, MJ.
MIAA Inc. Is that the MIAA or is this another group?
I believe it's the MIAA.
It's the MIAA.
Yeah.
And $5,900?
This was a, if I may.
Go ahead. Yeah.
This was a donation, a gift to support the expenses that we put out for the tournaments that were hosted during the 2020-2021 school year.
Oh, okay. All right.
So.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other further questions? Discussion? Okay. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. Roll call. All those in favor. Jen?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Judy?
Yes.
MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yes.
And consent agenda carries. Payment of bills. I did review all the bills. They are in order. Payroll. Judy?
I did review the payroll. The payroll appears to be in order.
All right. And at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn for the purposes of going into executive session, and then pursuant to Mass General Law Chapter 38, 21A3, to discuss strategy with respect to litigation, as an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the litigating position of the public body, and the chair so declares. Is there a motion to adjourn to go into executive session, reminding we are not returning? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, we need a roll call vote. Jen?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Thank you. Judy?
Yes.
MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.